Thank you for joining us at Thousand Hills. We hope you enjoy this message and it helps you continue your ride with Christ. You know you came from it. And someday you'll return to this hellstated Emerald's clay. You grew up on the wild ground. And today there is love on a post-game party field. You circle up on. And when it rains, you get stuck on. Trip the crowd back behind. Can we roll that you out of the mud? On a jig that she peeled off and hung up on blue-eyed summertime smile. Looks so good that it hurts. Makes you want. Makes you wanna build a 10% down white picket fence house on this dirt. You know you came from here. If someday you'll return to me.
Woo woo!
You guys should know that song by now. We've been in the series 3 weeks in a row now. You should know that song. What's the name of the song? Anybody know? Dirt. Anybody know who sings it? Florida Georgia Line. You guys finally got it. After all these weeks of doing this series, you guys finally got Florida Georgia Line. And some of you guys are new with us this morning. We want to thank you for coming today. And you may be wondering, why are we playing a Florida Georgia Line song in church? Well, it's because we like to do things a little different here at Thousand Hills. And we are in a series called Dirt. And the name of that song is Dirt, right? And the cool part about that song is the singer of it, Tyler Hubbard, is a believer. He believes in Jesus. And if you follow him on Instagram, like I've said before, he is one of those guys that, again, maybe doesn't have it all figured out, just like all of us. But at the end of the day, he knows that God has made a difference in his life. And just like that song said, he recognizes that we came from the dirt and one day we're going to return to the dirt. And so today, that's what we want to continue. And I'm actually going to end the series today. And like I said, the series title is Dirt, How Fertile Is Your Soul? Now, I had something happen this week, and I told you guys a story or two a couple weeks in a row about how I planted grass in my yard. Remember this? I had a swing, and the kids, you know, when they swing, they put a divot in the yard, you know, it doesn't grow. And I had grass growing. I prepared it. I did all that stuff. And then these three little girls came over, and they found my boys. And now they come over all the time. Well, guess what happened? They swung in the swing. And guess what happened to my grass? My grass died because they dragged their shoes, you know, when they swing, you know, like that, they dragged their shoes. So my grass is dead. I mean, it's gone. But I forgave these little six-year-olds. I forgave them. And I'm moving on. I'm not bitter at all. But here's what you know and I know. Bad soil, bad dirt, it's hard to work in. I don't know if you've ever tried to dig a hole in hard ground or whatever, but it's hard to dig in. Dirt that's, you know, not good, it can tear up your machinery. And most of all, it's not good for producing really anything, right? I mean, you planted stuff in certain spots, and no matter what you do, no matter when you plant it, if you plant it in the spring, if you plant it in the summer, it doesn't really matter. Nothing will grow in that bad soil. Right? You've been there? How many of you guys have been there? Raise your hand and relate with me right here, okay? Yeah, some of you guys have been there. But on the other hand, you know where, you know, there's some good, fertile soil, and it doesn't matter what you plant there, it grows, right? There may be nobody else growing anything, but you plant in this certain spot and you can make stuff grow. Well, that's the whole blessing of having fertile soil. It produces a crop. And so in the same way that fertile soil produces great crops, here's what we've looked at for the last few weeks. A fertile soul, a fertile heart can produce great spiritual crops as well. And so you say, well, what does that mean? Well, a soul that is fertile is a soul that's ready to receive the seeds that God wants to plant in our hearts. And so in the past few weeks, we looked at part one, Matthew chapter 13. We looked at how Jesus told us about four types of soil. Remember this? There was the, you know, the footpath that was hard packed. There was the shallow soil, you know, that didn't have, you know, it wasn't deep enough to for the, you know, seed to take root, and so it died away. There was the thorny soil. Remember this? The they planted the seed in the thorny soil, and the thorns choked it out. How many of you guys have sand burrs? Anybody have sand burrs? Yeah. How many? Yeah, you got more sand burrs than you do grass. I mean, because they choke it out. You know the best way to get rid of sand burrs is to plant Bermuda, fertilize it, and make the Bermuda choke the thorns out, choke the sand burrs out. So it's just the opposite. But so you had thorny soil, and then on the last one you had fertile soil. Jesus talked about it. He said, when you plant seed in fertile soil, it is going to produce a crop. And so those are the things we learned about. And so we answered this question. How do we cultivate a fertile soul to receive the seeds that God wants to plant in us? How do we cultivate a fertile soul? Well, number one was this, and this is what we've learned in the last few weeks. A fertile soul prepares for seed. You say, how do we do that? Well, we open our hearts to receive Jesus into our lives. I mean, Jesus wants to plant a seed of salvation in our lives, and he wants to, you know, forgive us of our sin. He wants to, you know, replace all of our past and make us, you know, have a bright future. And so we have to prepare our soul by accepting his seed of salvation. And that's the first step. The second step was this. We cultivate a daily relationship with Jesus. We cultivate a daily relationship with Jesus. I mean, if you're gonna cultivate something, it means you're gonna work it, you're gonna dig it up, you're gonna plow in it, you're gonna feed it, you're gonna water it, all those things. That's what we're called to do once we give our lives to Jesus. I mean, if you're reading your Bible, that's cultivating a personal relationship. If you're praying, that's cultivating a personal relationship. If you're developing Christ-centered friendships, that's cultivating a personal relationship with Jesus. And this is how we prepare to grow in Christ and how we produce, you know, growth in us and how he does. So number one was a fertile soul prepares for seed. Number two is this: a fertile soul grows and sows. A fertile soul grows and sows. And so here's the deal. When you prepare your soul to receive what God wants to plant in it, guess what? When you prepare for it, you're going to grow. When you begin to read your Bible, when you begin to pray, when you begin to cultivate a Christ-centered friendship with someone else that can push you and spur you on, guess what? You're going to grow. I mean, isn't that awesome? I mean, you guys that read your Bible, you know, daily, you know that you grow when you begin to read the Word of God. When you have a daily quiet time, or, you know, you spend time praying and you hang out with Christian friends, they help you grow, right? And so that's how we, you know, grow. But here's the thing. Not only should a fertile soul be busy growing, but listen, this is what we learned last week. A fertile soul should be busy sowing. Not sowing like stitching, right? Some of you ladies sew, and you sew with a sewing machine. My wife has a Bernina that I think's got about that much dust on it. Anybody? She just had to have it. One of those things, yeah? Who doesn't know what a Bernina is? Yeah, a bunch of you guys. It's actually a sewing machine, and it's a fancy one. Trust me, I paid a lot of money for it. But anyways, so I'm not talking about sowing like sewing, you know, fabric or whatever. I'm talking about sowing seeds. Just like, you know, a farmer sows seeds. He plants them in the ground. That's what we're called to do. And not only, again, are we supposed to be busy growing, we are supposed to be busy sowing. And so here's the thing. Once you accept Jesus into your life, not only are you the soil that he plants seeds in, guess what? You become the sower. So as you grow, you begin to plant seeds in other areas as well through the power of God, right? And so we're the soil and the sower. And you say, what does the sower do? Well, again, the sower is someone who plants seeds. You say, well, as believers, as Christians, what are we called to plant? We are called to plant seeds of faith in Christ. Again, I can plant seeds of how to shoot a basketball, how to throw a rope. I can, you know, plant seeds of how to, you know, teach my kids certain things in life. But if I don't give them the seed of faith, if I don't plant seeds of faith in their life, guess what? I've given them nothing. All those other things are temporary. And so we plant seeds of faith. And here's what I know about us as believers. And I look at the Word of God, and I mentioned this last time, but I look at the Word of God. Every believer in the Word of God, they had one characteristic in common. You ready? They told others about Jesus. Think about it. I mean, I don't know if you tell others about Jesus. I don't know if that's a part of your life. But I believe that God has called us not only to, again, grow in Him, to learn how to live for Him, but also to sow in other people's lives. And you say, well, where do I start? Well, this is what we learn. We learn that it starts in our family. Many of you guys have babies. You just had a baby, or you have little kids or whatever. Guess what? Now's the time to start sowing seeds of faith in their life. You say, how do I do that? My baby doesn't even talk. Pray over them every night. Put your hands on them and pray over them. I mean, I did it with my kids all the time. I mean, my wife, she'd walk in, she'd be like, what are you doing? I'm like, just filling for stuff, you know. And no, I'm just kidding. You know, I would just be, I'd pray over them, you know. From day one, I began to pray over them, planting that seed of faith, asking God to protect them and to save them, to give them a personal relationship with Him. Again, as they grow older, we plant seeds in them by reading the Word of God to them daily, or, you know, challenging them to, you know, download the Bible app on their iPod or their iPhone or whatever it is, and challenge them to read the Word of God and to grow in their faith. And so we plant seeds in our family and our, you know, in our kids. We plant seeds in our marriage. Again, we're encouraging each other to grow in Christ. We share with each other, you know, what God is teaching us. And so there should be some sowing in your family first. One of the tendencies, and I know you guys aren't preachers, but one of the tendencies for me is to sow in everybody else, and my family gets neglected, right? And so what I've learned, and I continually, you know, deal with, is I got to start taking time, or I got to have time to plant seeds in my own kids so that they grow up and love Jesus. And then you guys, again, I'm able to plant sow seeds in you as well. And so sowing the Word of God into the lives of our family, it's the best thing that you can do. It's the most important role that you play in your family's life. But here's the second part, and this is where I want to focus today, okay? We are called not only to sow seeds in our families, but we're called to sow seeds in the world. Now again, some of you guys are scared when I mention, hey, let's go out and tell others about Jesus. Listen, it is scary, and I've said this before, but it's the best thing that you could ever do. Here's why. If you have a faith that is worth having, it's a faith worth sharing. Are you with me? Think about it. If your faith has really changed your life, if Christ, Jesus Christ has really changed your life, guess what? It's worth sharing. I mean, I don't know why we wouldn't share the best news that we've ever heard in our lives, the news of how to come to know Christ and how to have eternal life. And so if Jesus has really changed our lives, guess what? We should be sharing that with other people. You know, and so here's what I have to realize, or what we have to realize. It is a gift to share the truth of Jesus Christ with other people. It's a gift. Just like I received a gift of salvation when my mom shared, and you know, I grew up in church and all that, they all shared with me. I received that gift of knowing Jesus. It's the same thing. We get to share it. It's a gift. It's a privilege that we get to share with other people. I want you to look at with me a powerful verse, or it's really a kind of a chapter. It's a few verses in the Bible that shows us that we are called to sow seeds in the world. Look at it with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul's writing a letter to the Corinthian church in Corinth, and listen to what he says to them. He says this. He says, because we understand our fearful what? Responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to what? Persuade others. I want you to catch that. Again, this is the same Bible that you read. This is what we were called to do. It's what they were called to do. Look at it with me. It says, now, God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No, we are giving you a reason to be proud of us so you can answer those who brag about having spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. If it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. Again, maybe you go and share with one of your friends, they're like, you're crazy, man. You believe in that Jesus stuff? I mean, that stuff's, I don't believe any of that. Well, again, they felt the same thing. And they said, if it seems like we're crazy, it's to bring glory to God. And so you can't be afraid of being crazy, you know, to some people. But it goes on to say, and if we are out of our minds, it's for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer what? Live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. And you say, what does that mean? When you become a believer and you become, you know, a burden for your friends, again, you don't see them as just regular human beings. You see their soul and you wonder, are their souls going to go to heaven when they die? And you become burdened for them. And so again, he says, so we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. And at one time we thought Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a what? A new person. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who what? Brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God is with Christ, was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of what?
Reconciliation.
So that we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through who? Through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ who never sinned to be an offering for our sin. And so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Now again, I know that's a lot of scripture, but listen. Before the beginning of time, God obviously was alive. He was real, right? When he created the world, listen, he created it perfect. When he created the garden, and he created Adam and Eve in the garden, guess what? He created them perfect. But what did man and woman do? Tell me. They sinned, right? And so when they sinned, guess what? That sin separated them from fellowship with God. Remember, he kicked them out of the garden, right? And so they were separated from fellowship with God. And so what did God have to do? He had to find a way to make it right in a relationship with us human beings, right? And so what did he do? He had an old covenant in the Old Testament. You know how they used to sacrifice animals. And when they did that, they sacrificed those animals. That was the repentance for their sin. And that's how they became right with God, through the sacrifice of these lambs. But here's the cool thing. Then Jesus came around, right? And Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus was crucified on a cross so that we could be made right with God. And so Jesus Christ paid that ultimate price so that we could be made right with God. And so here's the thing. If we want a right relationship with God, guess what? We have to know Jesus, right? And so here's the other thing. If we want others to have a right relationship with God, then they need to know Jesus as well. You know what that ministry is called? It's called the ministry of reconciliation. Just like he said here, we are called to show people how they can be made right with God. And so you say, well, what's our role as believers? Again, we are called to sow into others the seeds of Christ, the seeds of his love. And this is a privilege of all of us. Now, here's the thing. I believe, and you may not believe this, but I believe our culture is becoming more and more hardened to the gospel. And you say, what is the gospel? Well, the gospel is the good news of Jesus. Well, I believe that the world is becoming more and more hardened to receiving that. And so here's what else I believe. I grew up in a home where we would go and knock on doors. Anybody ever, grow up in a home where you'd knock on doors and tell people about Jesus? Yeah, we would do that all the time. How many of you guys have ever heard of a tract? Like where you would have this little, little piece of paper and it would talk about Jesus on it and you would hand tracts out to people. Anybody ever been handed a tract? People come up to you and said, hey, I want you to know about Jesus. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. I believe that God can still use that. But I believe that in our world and in our society today, it takes more than knocking on doors. It takes more than handing out a tract. It's just me. Maybe I'm wrong. If you hand out tracts and you believe you can knock on doors, go for it. please do not, you know, stop doing that, because if that's the way God uses you, go for it. But here's the deal. I believe because our world is becoming so hardened to the good news of Jesus Christ that we have to change some things, change the method, not the message, to be able to reach them. And it becomes even more work to be able to reach our world. And you say, well, how do we do that? What do you mean? Well, I found a few things in my own life that have worked in building relationships with people and them coming to know Christ. So I'll give you a few examples and then we'll be done for today. You ready? You say, how do I sow a seed of faith in my friends and the people of the world that don't know Jesus? Number one is this. We must be authentic. You got to be real. It's got to be genuine. You say, what do you mean by authentic? Well, it's genuine. You got to be a real, true, not hypocritical, not fake Christian. I mean, one of the coolest things that I've been able to do, and a lot of it's happened obviously through Thousand Hills, is I get to work with a lot of cowboys that don't know Jesus, right? And through working together, and even last night, I don't know if you guys made it to the Ranch Rodeo. But we had two nights at our ranch rodeo. We had 10 teams on Friday night, 11 teams last night. Or no, 11 teams on Friday night, 10 teams last night. And one of the coolest things is when I see these cowboys ride into the arena, I know a lot of them. I know most of them because I've been able to work with them out on ranches. And, you know, I do ranch photography and I'm able to take pictures of them. And I get to know their families because I, you know, show the pictures to their grandma and their mom and they buy them. Right? I mean, that's a good technique, right? It's good marketing. But so I take these pictures and I'm able to build relationships with these families and they invite me back out. I take some pictures, I get to work, I get to drag calves, and I get to sweat, get dirty with all these cowboys. And guess what that does? Because I've been authentic with them, I eat with them, I work with them, I get dirty with them. Because of that, listen, I build a rapport and a friendship with them, and at some time in their life, guess what? Because they know I'm a preacher, because they know I'm a Christian, they begin to turn to me when things kind of fall apart in their lives. Or when there's something great going on, like they get married, guess who they call? They call me. They call me because I've developed a personal relationship with them. And you say, where did it start? Where it started in the dirt, right? It started with something that was authentic. I didn't have, you know, necessarily an agenda. I just wanted to get to know them. I wanted to develop a friendship. Listen, that's the same way we're supposed to be with people. If I'm going to reach my neighbor, I can't just go over there and knock on the door and say, hey, I want to tell you about Jesus. You know, I've got to actually ask my wife to make him a lasagna and take the lasagna over, right? When I see their kids, you know, coming around, I got to offer them a cookie or a popsicle or, you know, make them, you know, slime. My kids, they love to make slime. What's the big deal with slime nowadays? Anybody know? I mean, your kids, grandkids, you know, they make slime. My kids, you know, they're like slime parties, right? All the boys come over. Hey, we're going to make slime today. So again, we've got to offer that. We got to offer our door, open our door and allow them to come in so that we can develop relationships with them so that we can lead them to Christ. Are you with me? It's got to be authentic, though. Jesus is a good example of being authentic. Listen to what he did in Mark chapter 2. Look at it with me. It says, once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. So if he was sitting at a tax collector's booth, what was he? He was a tax collector. Guess what they thought about tax collectors? Hated them. They were the bad people, right? Jesus walks by and look at what he does. He saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth, and guess what he said? Hey, follow me. I want you to take note of that, because he didn't go to the temple, he didn't go to the church, he went to the tax collector's booth. And he said, hey, buddy, you're worth following, or you're worthy of following me. And he chose a tax collector. How many of you guys thank God for that? Right? Because we're all sinners, right? But listen to what else he did. He said, follow me, Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at whose house? At Levi's house, many tax collectors and, quote, sinners were eating with him and his disciples. For there were many who followed him. Listen, did you catch that? You say, what is it a part of being authentic? That means people are attracted to you for some reason. Are you with me? I know so many Christians that they actually deter people. They're actually repellent because they don't love, they don't welcome, they don't accept, even with the flaws, right? Are you with me? Jesus was the opposite. Jesus said, hey, this tax collector, Levi, everybody hates him. I want to go eat with him. And then it says that a lot of sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. And listen to what else he says. When the teachers of the law, again, these are the religious jerks, when the teachers of the law who were Pharisees saw him eating with the, quote, sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? And on hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but who?
Sinners.
Again, you say, what does it mean to be authentic? Well, Jesus gives us a true definition of it. You say, well, I don't know what to do. Well, invite somebody over to dinner. Make yourself available for them to invite you to dinner. Don't invite yourself. Right? But make yourself available by building a relationship with them so that they can, you know, build a relationship with you. That's what Jesus did. Did you notice who Jesus was with? I mean, he's with sinners, tax collectors. Did you notice where he ate supper? In a sinner's house. In the tax collector's house. Here's the thing about it. He didn't give a flip about the religious people, did he? I mean, it would have been one thing to, you know, say, hey, Levi, like, you come to my house. Let's eat at my house. No, what did he do? He said, no, I want to go eat at Levi's house. Levi's house probably wasn't, you know, again, maybe the best house, and maybe, you know, there was drama in their house. Maybe, you know, all kinds of things were going on because they were hated because they were tax collectors. But Jesus said, hey, I'm going to go to your house, man. I want to hang out with you. And so Jesus ate supper with them. Did you notice how many people were attracted to him? A lot. Again, I don't know about you, but I want to be the type of person. I hope your desire is to be the type of person that actually attracts people to Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about what I can offer them. It's about what Jesus can offer them. And so Jesus is our greatest example of being genuine. He was real. He didn't see these people as below him, but as people he came to save. Are you with me? Again, he didn't come for the healthy. He came for the sick. And so that's what Jesus did, and we must be authentic too. We genuinely should desire to know people, to serve them, to develop a friendship with them. And it's out of that friendship that God opens the door for us to sow the seeds of faith in their lives. So number one, we must be authentic. Number two is this, it must be done in love. It must be done in love. And these all kind of over, you know, lap each other, but it's so true. It must be done in love. Look at 1 John 4, 7 and 8. It says, dear friends, let us continue to what? Love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a what? A child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is what? God is love. Here's the thing, not only should we be authentic, but we should love genuinely. I mean, Jesus showed it to us by his words. I mean, he forgave people that everybody else thought was unforgivable, right? He showed them grace. He related to them. He hung out with them. Through his actions, he showed them by providing for them physically, emotionally, spiritually, materially. He provided for them, and he showed them love through his actions. And guess what? We're called to imitate his love. I mean, when was the last time you found somebody that was in need and you just said, you know what, I'm gonna sacrifice some time and I'm gonna minister to these people. I'm gonna use whatever God's resources I have to be able to minister to these people. Not because I have to, but because I want God's love to shine through me. And so we are called to love one another. Because love comes from God. And that doesn't just include, again, our Christian friends. It includes the world. Love is the thing that attracted sinners to Jesus. And it should be the thing that attracts, you know, sinners to us so that we can show them the love of Jesus. Here's what I believe. Sowing seeds of faith means that we don't see people as projects, but we see them as people we love. In other words, I'm not going to look at them and go, man, I just got to make them a project. I'm just going to make them, you know, they're just, you know, I'm going to do this for one reason only, and that's just, you know, to make them, you know, come to know Jesus. That's all I, you know, want. And again, that is our heart, but at the end of the day, we just should just love them. And then out of that love, they're going to come to see that something's different than us. You know, nowadays, again, I believe that you have to earn the right to speak into somebody's life. And the best way that I've learned to do that is to love people. I'm telling you, I do funerals quite a bit. Like I said, a couple weeks ago, I did a funeral for a kid that was 22 years old. He was murdered. And then I did a funeral for a baby who never made it out of the womb, 17 weeks old. And guess what? The best gift that I can give those people in that moment is love. Is love. And you say, well, how do you do that? I don't know. I'm just there. I just show up. I don't know them. I don't know half the people that I do funerals for, but I just show up and I just begin to love them. And in their deepest, darkest hurt, because I showed them love, guess what? God opens the door, and many of them have come to our church, and many of them have come to know Jesus. And so it must be done out of love. If you have, again, other alternatives, it's probably not going to work. So it must be authentic. If we're going to sow seeds of faith into the world, it's got to be authentic. It's got to be real. It's got to be genuine. And it must be done out of love. And then the last thing is this. For the world to receive the seeds of faith, listen, it must be a lifestyle. It's got to be a lifestyle. Look at Ephesians 5:2. It says this. Live a what? Live a life filled with love. Following the example of Christ, he loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. It's supposed to be a life. It's not what we do just at church, right? I don't come to church just to, you know, show off. I don't come to church just to make everybody think I'm a good person. No, listen, it should be our life. It should be something that we, you know, I say it this way. Sowing seeds isn't just what we do, but it is who we are. Are you with me? I'm not just going to go sow seeds because it's something that I'm supposed to do. No, it's just supposed to be who I am. Sowing seeds doesn't just happen, and again, on Sunday or at a church event. Sowing seeds needs to be a lifestyle. It needs to be a lifestyle. And you say, well, how do I make it a lifestyle? Well, again, we do what Jesus did. Remember in John chapter 4 when we read about the soils? And we read about the, you know, the woman at the well, and Jesus met her at the well, and he began to tell her, you know, about her life, and she went back and told other people, and because she told other people, a lot of people came to know Christ. Here's the point. You know where Jesus met her? At the well. Right? Again, you say, well, what does that mean? Well, we are to meet people right where they're at. In your life, you go to work every day, that's where you should be ministering to people, being authentic, loving them, and sharing your faith with them. You like to drink coffee, go to the coffee shop or the donut shop and share your faith with those people there by loving them, being authentic. Again, it's a lifestyle. Jesus didn't go, hey, everybody come to the temple, I'm going to preach. No, he went to the well where the people were, and he began to minister to them, right? I mean, that's what we're called to do. If you like to golf, I went golfing for the first time in 10 years this last week, right? And I'm no good. But listen, I believe that you can share the faith of Jesus anywhere you go. Golf course, fishing pond, riding a horse, wherever it is, you can share it. And if it's truly changed your life, if Jesus has truly changed your life, listen, you will want to share it with other people. And so the world is looking for authentic people who love others and live a life that is truly shows that they love God and love other people. So here's the bottom line. The bottom line is, if Jesus has changed your life, then you should desire, and you should desire to share that change with other people. And so my question is, how fertile is your soul? Are you just growing in your faith, or are you sowing faith in other people? Being, you know, both the soil and the sower, God has called us to get busy growing and to get busy sowing. Get busy sowing. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. We're going to pray together. Lord, I come to you right now, and I thank you for the for the calling that you've placed on all of our lives, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you've given us the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of being able to sow seeds into the world, sow seeds into our family, to not only grow in our faith, but to share with other people the saving grace that we've experienced in our own life. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, today I pray that each of us would be not only the soil that helps, you know, that you plant seeds in so that we can grow, but that we would be the sower planting seeds of faith in everybody around us. And so, Lord, help us to do that. With your head bowed and your eyes closed and continuing a sense of prayer, I want to ask you, who in here would say, you know what, Bo, I want to make a difference in the world? Would you just raise your hand? Anybody want to make a difference in the world? Thank you, all across the barn. How many of you guys would say, you know what, Bo, I want to be that person that doesn't just grow in my faith, but I want to be that person that actually sows seeds of faith in other people? Would you just raise your hand? Thank you, all across the room. Thank you so much. Listen, each of you have been called to the ministry of reconciliation. And again, you may think, I don't know enough. Listen, you're never going to know enough. That's not the point. God has called you to share your faith with other people. He's called you to be authentic, to love other people, and to live a lifestyle that shows everybody that you love Jesus. And so listen, those of you that raised your hand today, I want to pray for you. I want to ask God to bless you and to use you to sow seeds of faith in other people. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Christ personally. You've never accepted him into your life. He's planted seeds in your life. Maybe it was your parents that planted a seed in you, that they took you to church and they showed you the word of God, but you've neglected it. You've said, I don't really want to sell out. I really don't want to surrender my heart totally to Jesus. Listen, I'm begging you. I'm asking you, surrender. Give up. Don't keep running from Jesus. Listen, he is your only hope in this life and in eternity. Jesus is your only hope. And so today, maybe you're here and you need to accept Jesus into your life. You need to accept the seed of salvation that he's planted in your heart. And you need to allow it to begin to grow in you. If that's you, if you have never accepted Jesus, maybe you just pray this simple prayer with me. You don't have to pray it out loud. You can just pray it in your heart. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Jesus, I know that you died on the cross for my sins so that I could have eternal life. And Lord, today I'm accepting that seed that you planted in me, that seed of salvation, through your death on the cross and through rising from the dead. I believe in you and I give you my life. Listen, maybe you just prayed that prayer for the very first time. Listen, we rejoice. If you just gave your life to Jesus, again, it's the best decision that you'll ever make in your life. And would anybody, with nobody's looking around, I'm the only one who's looking, but would anybody say, you know what? I just gave my life to Jesus. Would you just raise your hand if you said that? Thank you, man. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Amen. Thank you. Listen, I'm telling you, it's the best decision that you'll ever make in your life. And Jesus, again, he wants to begin to grow in you. He wants to begin to guide you and show you how to live your life. You're never going to have to face anything alone again because he's going to be with you forever, guiding you. And you say, what do I do now? How do I live my life? Listen, that's why the church exists. That's why Thousand Hills exists, is so that we can help you in your new ride for Christ. And so today, if you've given your life to Jesus, we hope that you will connect with us and that you will come back and you will begin to grow in your new relationship with Jesus. Listen, I praise God that you are here today, but let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we come to you right now and we thank you for the opportunity to give us, that you've given us, to be able to sow seeds of faith in other people, Lord. And Lord, today I pray that those that have given their life to you, I thank you that your seed has grown in their life, has germinated, so to speak, and now they have a personal relationship with you. And so, Lord, today I pray that you would just continue to move and continue to help us to be able to serve other people, to be authentic, to be able to grow in our relationship with you. And so, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to sow seeds of faith in other people. And may we be about your business and your ministry of reconciliation, bringing others to you. And Lord, we thank you. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen.
We want to thank you for taking time out of your day to listen to this message. If you made a commitment today, you can contact us at thousandhillsranch.church or give us a call at 580-216-6427. One of our values is we ride to be generous. If you feel led to give, please go to thousandhillsranch.church, click on the Give tab to give your gift today. And remember, at Thousand Hills, you belong before you believe.